Log Talk Radio.
Monsters. I'm on the Atlantic side of Florida, and I've got a standing guest with me who's on the line. I've muted her for a minute. It's Trish Springstead, who's been on with me before, and we're going to probably be talking about the action of the week and what's been going on. My regular guest, or my scheduled guest, was supposed to be Kevin Blanch. And I'm going to give you an introduction to Kevin right now. Hopefully we'll be able to raise him on the phone sooner or later. Here we go. This is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin Blanch. Back to the nuclear fucking nightmare. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? The fucking news media, the fucking conscience of fucking America, the conscience of the world is not all over this. There is plutonium flowing into the Pacific fucking Ocean. Do you understand? I mean, people don't understand the implications. Are we really this fucking stupid? Is this fucking country's conscience really that fucked up? Is it really that pathetic? There is plutonium flowing into the Pacific Ocean. Wow. Holy fuck. And the fucking news media, fuck, they're over there fucking watching fucking, you know, what's unfolding in Iraq or fucking Britney Spears comeback or something. Fuck, what the fuck? I don't fucking believe this. I don't believe this. They parade, when the news finally shows something, they parade out one fucking nuclear energy so-called expert after another. Every last single one of these pieces of shit, you play back the tape for 3 fucking weeks. Every one of these fucking so-called experts with a fucking agenda who is pro-nuke. Not one single anti-nuke guy on any of the networks. Not fucking one. I've been going at it with a certain person in the fucking major fucking news media. Her and I have been going at it. She tells me, oh, you're anti-nuke. I'm like, yeah, you're pro-fucking nuke. Fuck, of course I'm anti-nuke. What you see is what you fucking get. Are you kidding me? How can you be pro-fucking nuke? How can anybody be pro-nuke on the fuck what's going on? What the fuck is the matter with this fucking country? Fuck, look. They could have. 3 weeks this has been going on. 3 weeks. The media's got a fucking, they've got some liability. They dummied this fucking
if this call is concerning glass repair, stucco repair, concrete repair, stone repair, or stucco inspection, or restoration project, leave me a name and a number. I'll be able to get back to you a little later on today. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message.
What kind of fucking pieces of shit are these? There is no fucking nuclear radiation. They're a fucking scam. The people you're watching on fucking these news outlets, these so-called, they're a fucking scam. Not one single anti-air guy. They're plutonium in the Pacific fucking ocean.
It's communications breakdown. Hi, Kevin, are you with me, darling?
I am. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I was playing you. I was playing a clip of you. We've got Tricia Springstead on the line with us. I had her as backup here at the last minute. Trisha, are you with me too?
Yeah, I'm here. Kevin, okay. It's Erika Angel.
Yeah, I know. I've been following you. I know who you are. Huh?
I've been following you too.
Let me introduce Kevin.
Let me introduce Kevin. Kevin Blanche is a video commentator. He has a channel on YouTube, which he posts videos on. And what he does is he uses outrage to bring a message across, and that's what you were listening to in all of the confusion at the beginning of the show. But you know what? All of that confusing speak on top of each other just goes to show you how difficult it is to get a message across to the public these days. And Kevin is using YouTube very successfully to do that. This week alone, with everything that is occurring, I mean, things are happening in the world and in our country at such a breakneck speed that you have to get people's attention quick. So, Kevin, are you with me still?
I am.
I thank you for being patient and getting the call in. And I really would like to actually talk to you right now about an introduction. Let us know who you are, where you come from, and why you started making these videos.
Well, I've been an activist for anti-nuclear activists. I'm an ex-derivative trader, well, still a derivative trader, arbitrage specialist. I'm on Wall Street. I'm a professor, but my father was nuked to death. Special Forces Marine, marching in the desert, nuked. I live in Utah, but as a Utah, we've been very proactive anti-nuke. Even the conservatives in Utah have been anti-nuke over the years. Well, I watched my father die from nuclear exposure, nuclear radiation, and it totally outraged me so hardcore. That's why I got so involved as far as YouTube goes. I always had my message, and I was always pushing for the atomic veterans to get my message out, but, you know, much more than that, finance, politics, my liberal views, and I sat back and I watched the liberal side be bullied over and over and over and over, and, you know, I started to use YouTube. I was a little late to the game. I wish I had got to YouTube a little earlier than I did. But I try to push my message as far as nuclear energy and how it kills people. That's my number one agenda.
I hear you. You've been extraordinarily vocal. I mean, putting it really lightly. But you've been extraordinarily vocal, and you've gotten people's attention. I know that one of my fellow Blog Talk Radio guys, Pinko, up late at night with Pinko the Bear, Brad Holhut, has a show which is very left, pretty popular, and he has been playing your rants on his show for just a long time, months and months. And I have heard and watched people comment when I post you via the YouTube clip on my page on social networking with Facebook, even tweeting. Late at night, I've tweeted little, you know, urls of your latest message, especially the nuclear ones, and you'd be surprised how many people respond to those. Twitter always surprises me. Do you use Twitter at all yourself?
No, I don't. I don't tweet at all. I don't text. You know, I'm kind of old school. I'm advanced when it comes to computer skills because I'm a derivative trader. You know, I've been involved using computers because I was on Wall Street when the whole thing evolved. But I've always had a saying that I like to say. I've said it my whole life. Cordial conversations are dangerous. Passionate, intelligent arguments get results. And I've always took offense with what has evolved in the last 30 years as the left somehow has got into this debating society and somehow diplomacy is everything in a two-party system. And I've always disagreed with that. I've always thought the two-party system was all about extremes and finding common ground, and the left lost it and the right used it. And, every time someone gets passionate or they get angry or they get mad, I mean, if you look at history of this country, plenty of our forefathers, plenty of very marquee politicians used passion. Now it seems if you use passion, they think you're some kind of crazed radical. And I totally disagree with it.
I hear you. I agree with that.
People need to be mad. If people aren't angry right now with what's going on in this world, in the United States, and what we've turned into, I'm like, I don't know. My whole agenda, I use the term post-ignorance. That's my PhD study, but people just seem to not care, and I don't understand why they don't care. I honestly do not get it.
There was a book, Watership Down. Do you know what book I'm referring to?
I don't.
Well, it was like a child's story of rabbits in the Warren and how the rabbits would behave. And, of course, there was a moral to the story. But the point I'm trying to make is there was a term I learned in it. That's when it's like the deer caught in the headlights syndrome. And it's called SARN. And all I can think of with most people these days politically, a major amount of these people, as you are saying, are SARN. They're not acting. That's the way I'm seeing it too. I think a lot of other people are.
I've been a professor for years. I graduated from the number one business school in the United States. You know, only 27 of us. That was via the test. I stepped in and taught there. And I watched as students, I mean intelligent so-called students, came in. And so I got involved with trying to quantify, is America getting dumber? Are they getting dumber? Not just in IQ scores, but in deductive thinking skills. So I got involved, and I poured through old data, everything I found, and America is getting dumber, and I wanted to know why.
Yes.
And, I broke it down to pure economics. The average school teacher in 1965 made well over $100,000 a year. And, there's a lot of different ways you can go around it. But the fact is, number one, they're getting dumber. They're getting more ignorant. Number two, they don't care. And the reason I think that they don't care, when the Pat Tillman documentary came out about a year ago, I was lucky enough to get to see it because one of my friends was working on it. And I thought, this is going to outrage America so dramatically. Well, I spent a lot of time in Manhattan with a lot of writers, a lot of sophisticated people. Over Christmas, I'm discussing it, and the whole circle that I know are extremely sophisticated people, none of them watched it. And I'm like, why? And they're like, we're numb. We're numb to the whole thing. And I can see that, but I think people are numb. I think it's been this way for so long. They're like, we've tried, we give up. And, if we've gotten there, if we're so numb and that we've given up, wow.
It's a real black, deep abyss, this apathy that we seem to be at the edge of. I agree with you. I'm wondering what your opinion is of the latest as far as nuclear news. Apparently,
you know where I'm at right now, believe it or not, I am standing and I'm looking right directly right now at the hangar where the Enola Gay flew out of. I'm in Nevada. I'm in a little town called Wendover. I'm betting horses. I was in California. And I'm right here right now, and I'm standing outside, and I'm staring right at the hangar the Enola Gay flew out of.
Whoa.
And I am so knowledgeable when it comes to the nuclear thing. I was a nuclear activist when I was a kid. Because we're Utahns, and Utahns, we lived on the border, and the open-air blasts were killing Utahns by cancer in droves. So then, I didn't even know the story of my father then. You know, and then later, mm-hmm. I found out that he was marched into the desert, lined up, nearly killed there, and he died of leukemia, like all 40,000, and it totally outraged me how the story was not told. And so I've made myself knowledgeable on the nuclear fallout and how it is, and when I started really reading and learned that plutonium is accumulative and it lays in your bone marrow, and every time there's any kind of accident it just builds up, and it's not pollution, it does not dilute, and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up, and the incidence of cancer just grows and grows and grows.
Yeah.
And it's such a silent, evil, ugly, deadly killer. Because it's not right people's face. It doesn't three eyeballs. And as we get down the road, you die 20, 30 years, and people just seem to accept it. They're like, oh, my brother died of leukemia at 48 years old. You know, my sister died at 52 years old of breast cancer. You know, my uncle died at 58 years old of colon cancer. And these instances up, but that's okay. It's just cancer. You know, and I mean, they become numb to it. When all the quantitative research out there by the guys like Leonard Berg, guys like Robert Miller, guys like Dorothea from Cal Berkeley have studied this, and they've proven that the incidence of leukemia, colon cancer, brain cancer, 5, 6, 10 times, thousands of times in Utah. And people just, I don't know. If it's not in your face, they're just whatever. And I don't understand that kind of thinking. I don't understand the hypothesizing forward. I call it the sense of history. People,
yeah,
for some reason, can't think back more than 2 years or think forward more than 2 days.
Agreed. They're too afraid.
I don't know if it's a baby boomer syndrome. You know, I grew up in a Federal Reserve family. I grew up in one of the marquee Federal Reserve families. And they were socialists. They truly were socialists in their own writings, in their own sayings, in their own actions. I call Alan Greenspan the science fiction economist. But I think it's all a philosophical shift. And I think it's all self-indulgence. I think it's all me, and not we. It's all about I. I really believe that. I always fall back to Steinbeck's great quote. It's my favorite quote of all time. And he wrote in The Grapes of Wrath, which is similar to now. And he wrote, Paine, Jefferson, Marx, they are not causes, they are results. And I think of that, we are a result. I think Barack Obama is a result of Iraq. And people, the baby boomers are the result of the prosperity of defense.
Yeah.
And they're self-indulged to their own detriment. You know, and it's to the point now that if America doesn't wake up right now, you know, it's like the debt ceiling. I mean, the Republican Party's pandering to the far radical right. I mean, who would have believed it?
It's outrageous. It's outrageous. I was wondering what you thought of and whether or not you've seen it. We have Pinko. The bear, Brad, is in the chat room, and his favorite quote from The Grapes of Wrath is, "So who do I shoot?"
Yeah,
that's applicable. Tennessee, in one of the Republican counties, apparently there, and this has to do something with, I haven't gotten all of the information, but apparently the state of Tennessee is accepting German nuclear waste to burn. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I have. Right up the road from where I'm standing right now is what we call the Clyde facility. It's on the Utah-Nevada border. It is the biggest waste facility in the world right here. It's had accidents for years and years, and believe it or not, they wanted to start putting the nuclear waste right here, and our governor stopped it. Our legislator passed it. Our governor, who was John Huntsman at the time, who is a liberal, believe it or not, he is a liberal, he put a stop to it. Now, our governor now is all for it. So it's a big deal right here for the French spent fuel rods. Now, the spent fuel rods here, of course, are stored on site, you know, when Yucca Mountain has been built right here in Nevada, as I stand in Nevada, which is a total outrage. They accepted Yucca Mountain has been built. Nevada accepted all that money for all those years, billions of dollars, and when it got done, they're like, oh, no, we don't want it. So all the spent fuel rods are stored on site in this site, which these facilities, you know, as horrible as nuclear power is, then you add the waste is stored on site, which was never intended to be stored on site. We had a partial meltdown in Nebraska, and that gets covered up. You know, it is an absolute catastrophe waiting to happen, and it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
It's already happening.
And people are ignorant to it.
You're one of the few people I've heard crying out about it. I mean, most of the left I've heard, you know, crying out about it. I've seen your posts all over the place on the Japanese Fukushima.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, and you couple that with the fact that the Gulf is dead and its decadent water is being pumped via the Gulf Stream up in through the middle of the Atlantic, which already has its oxygenation problems. You're talking about the world oceans being seriously, and nobody is addressing this.
The greatest food market in the entire world, the Pacific Ocean. You know, and of course the Atlantic. And you know, I've never understood. Now we can all be abstract in our way of living and not. I've always been a contrarian. I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, involve myself in this contemporized madness and chase my tail my whole life. I've never done it. I always live in a really abstract. But there's one thing. Even if we live abstract and find our own way to survive, there's one thing that trumps it all, and that is the environment. We cannot hide, and that's what outrages me. So it affects every single one of us, and it blows my mind how people accept and kiss the corporate rings when they're killing every single one of us, and it's become a left-right issue, and somehow a tree hugger has become to the far left, and it's some kind of passive sissy. I don't get that. Where did that come from? Where did that come from?
Greed, and propaganda. The media. We are plugged in to the media. The average American and many of the Western European countries are plugged into a television. A majority. Now this is all statistics I've read. up to 5 hours a day being fed information that the corporations want you to hear. And I think that's responsible for the lack of outrage that you were speaking about.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, and this is why I go off so hard on the right, because I'm a believer in the two-party system. I really am. And I'll tell you why I go so hard on the right. Television is not a bad thing. It was invented by Philo Farnsworth, another Utah right here. And it's not a bad thing. I've always been a huge fan of PBS. A huge fan. And when I teach, I love to show films and I love to show documentaries. I think it's the greatest church. It's not if you're watching, it's what you're watching. And when we get to the debate, when it all gets right down to the budget, to the deficit, what does the far right want to cut? PBS and NPR, a little teeny, teeny, minute sliver of money?
Well, and they're also, Kevin, Kevin, they're also doing all of the active fact checking on the news services too. You used to get that out of PDF, remember?
Oh yes. You know, the only source where I can gather freaking knowledge that doesn't have an agenda where I can finally find some. You know, as radical and as crazy as Fox News is and Rupert Murdoch and his, I call it the radical Christian industrialized military complex that we've turned into in this country. As radical as that is, at least we know what that is. But when you see the mainstream 24-hour news cycle like a CNN and their outrage, I say it like this. When Haiti happened, they were there for 3 months. When Phuket happened there, they were for 3 months. When Japan happened, they were there for 2 weeks. And Japan is Chernobyl on Balco, as I like to say. Now, then, the thing that most outraged me the most about media in my entire life, well, number one, the firing of Dan Rather by CBS when he called George Bush a draft dodger when George Bush was a draft dodger. When he was the guy who went into the field in Vietnam. But one thing trumped it. Sanjay Gupta on CNN is the medical guru. He's a neurosurgeon. This guy was going to be the surgeon general. He turned it down. I mean, they have spent years grooming this guy to build credibility. He's an intelligent guy. He gets on 2 weeks. On a Saturday morning, his medical show that comes on at 4:30 a.m. here on my time, 5:30. I'm watching it because I like to watch it. And he's got this blogger from Michigan. He brings him on, and he says, yeah, I was sick in my bed in 1986 when Chernobyl happened, and so I always thought it was bullshit, so I decided to go over there. So I bought a plane ticket, and I went over there, and I didn't see anybody with three eyeballs. And Sanjay Gupta actually puts up a picture of two guys fishing, holding up a fish, when the plutonium was pouring into the Pacific. And I'm like, wow. That is the most irresponsible piece of journalism I have ever seen. And I was like, is that really where we are at with contemporized media, let alone the extreme media?
The reason your voice is so important. Your voice, my voice, the voice of Pingo the Bear, the voice of all of these, left radical, which we really are. I don't think you could look at a guy like David Williams Krell, who posts over at our Round 3-7. He's an engineer with a family, and yet he's saying enough. He's outraged. He's blogging that way. The same with Oso, with Al Osorio. He's an everyday guy. He's also a talented storyteller, but he's not what you would call the radical left. Yet
no, he's a
mainstream
contemporary guy.
He's intelligent.
Where do we get to the point where mainstream intelligent has turned into so-called radical left? There is no left in this country. That is my term. There is no left. There is radical, fascist, neocon, crazed, far right, and there's right. Eisenhower would be considered, today Eisenhower would have been considered a radical liberal. That is no bullshit. He would have been a far-right radical liberal.
His daughter has said as much, I think, on Bill Maher.
I read everything she ever says. I love everything she says. I use her as a metaphor all the time. She says it all the time. Hell, Nancy Reagan says it. She says it. I mean, all these mainstream contemporized people, they brought this ignorant mass into their tent, and they've given a voice. And I say it like this. It was all set in motion the day that Bush and Fox News orchestrated the theft of the 2000 election. By the way, he did not win, number one. Number
I know.
Two, if you take the electoral college number, and the electoral college number isn't even close. Gore wins Florida. What is it, 269 to 186 when he went? I mean, it's not even close. And he went, so it let every hairspray illegal freaking scam and loser out of their basement and said, let's go start committing white-collar crime. After all, I mean, the President of the United States committed the greatest theft in American history, and it's ratified, and the left just laid down. Gore just laid down. They said, okay, have it. Bully us. Get us in the corner. Pull our shirts over his head. Beat the hell out of us.
Yeah, I'm a little angry at Gore right now anyways. But
yeah. The only good news we have as far as the left, as far as politics, is thank God John Edwards didn't get freaking elected. That piece of shit. Can you imagine if, say, Kerry would have won in 2004 and Edwards would have been there in place to become the president in, you know, 2008? And that piece, and any female who calls herself Real and she's middle aged, her name is Lori. I mean, please. That's the only good thing that has happened, that he was not elected, because he's a piece of shit.
I hear you. There are plenty of people who do sort of cling to John Edwards after all. My younger sister tried to convince me that Dennis Kucinich was the choice to make. She had a point.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I like Dennis. I do like Dennis a lot.
I sold out. I thought that, you know, a guy like him, too good to be true, never get the votes. But look at this guy, full of hope and change. I bought the damn farm there.
Yeah, we all did. You know, I say it all the time. Let Michelle make the decisions. You know, Michelle.
Yeah.
They talk about the metaphor of Barack being Jackie Robinson. Well, Michelle's real last name is Robinson. There's the transformer change. And remember, Barack was not white enough. There's nothing black about him. There's nothing. I mean, he grew up in a banking. His grandmother was a banker in Hawaii. Yeah, there's a real urban freaking from the roots poverty setting. You know, and it kills me how the right freaking jumps on it. There is nothing black about the guy except for his wife. There's nothing liberal about the guy except for his wife.
Culturally, that I agree with. Culturally, I'm not gonna fence with anyone over that. The guy is wrong. The guy needs to be taken out of, and I do not mean this in any other way than politically. He needs to be taken out of the picture. Another candidate belongs on that primary run.
Well, you know, Hillary said it best. Hillary and Bill both said it during the freaking campaign. They both said it. They said he's inexperienced, he's green. And if you look at him, his first 2-3 years have been inexperienced and green. They called it. Bill said, he says, you're going to deal with this far right. They're crazy, they're radical, they'll get in your face, and they're going to bully. And there's one way you've got to fight them tooth and nail. And he didn't understand that. I think he understands it now, but it's too late.
Well, and as far as Clinton goes, I'm a little, you know, he helped usher in what happened on Wall Street, too. So, you know.
I was on Wall Street then. Well, I'll never forget it. The day he signed NAFTA, and I'm an old school progressive. I'm a progressive in the spirit of Truman, in the spirit of Eisenhower, in the spirit of Woodrow Wilson, in the spirit of both Roosevelts, Bobby Kennedy. I mean, I was a youth,
yes.
But I still remember the day he was killed, and that was the last of the end of progressives. But when
the day
he signed NAFTA, you think I rant now? You should have heard me ranting then. Holy cow. And I was on Wall Street. I went freaking crazy then. I couldn't believe it. I near tipped over. I still don't believe
it.
That was brilliant as the man he was. He played ball.
Yep.
And
what it's cost us now is, here's the point. I'm going to ask you this. I've been talking to Oso about it. I've also talked to Trish about it. It's not so much the politics as it is the spooky end of it. I mean, do you get the feeling, Kevin, that something's about to go pop here? Even if it's this debt ceiling thing. I mean, that's the only evener that we seem to be looking at is some kind of and this plays in to the goddamn capitalist bastards who are the corporatists who are basically using a scenario of disaster capitalism, Klein's shock doctrine, right, like almost out of the book, those Chicago bastards, the money changers, la, la, la. It seems like the only thing that's going to awaken the farn or paralyzed American, middle-class American people is an actual in-their-face crisis. And if those checks stop coming next week.
So true.
And
so
we
true.
Have
that's
to...
all these ignorant bastards know.
Yeah.
It's so true.
masses are illiterate.
I grew up in a Federal Reserve family, and I'm a writer, I'm a historian, I teach U.S. economics history. I write over and over and over about this. The Great Progressive Movement from 1936 up until 1975, not the strongest middle class in American history, the strongest middle class in world history. Tariffs, tariffs, tariffs.
Yeah.
We had tariffs from 1776 to present, 94. You think it's a coincidence? It all breaks down to economics. I'm very Freudian, it all comes down to the same thing. In 94, when they passed this, it's been all downhill since. We could turn this boat around on a dime, on a dime. Tariffs.
Ha.
We put tariffs on tomorrow, everything would be cured in this entire country. Just from a humanitarian state of mind. Okay, Western Europe, they don't exploit labor. Japan does not exploit labor. You don't want to get into the capitalism thesis and you don't want to freaking get into that rabbit. Why not the humanitarian? These people, the average hourly wage in China is 37 cents an hour. They're polluting and killing the earth, and we empower them. For the first time in American history, I quote Hamilton over and over and over. I quote Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
I go to his grave every time in Manhattan. He's buried at the Trinity Church. I do a lot of my videos at the Trinity Church because of Hamilton. Hamilton, Jefferson, Washington, they all debated this. They all debated this. But they were pragmatic enough. Jefferson disagreed. He was an anarchist. Jefferson says, hey, we want to be farmers, no organized military. We don't want any organized military. You know, they were sick of freaking England. We've turned into everything king. I call it the return of King George. But he was pragmatic to understand that Hamilton's argument was, it is ignorant and naive to believe that our shores will not be attacked for our vast natural resources. And it came true. If it was not for Hamilton, it was not for a central bank, it was not for a AAA credit rating, we would not exist as a country. Hitler would have won. I mean, the Manhattan Project would not have existed, which was another whole nightmare. But we would not have won World War II, and we borrowed from the French. And I love it how we create these buzzwords. Oh, we hate San Francisco. We hate France. And they just feed it. The Fox machine feeds it to their masses, and it's more religion than economics. Their masses, Fox News could come out today, and the Republican Party could tell them, you need to march yourself off a cliff. You'll be okay. You'll fall 600 feet, but you'll live. Just do it. The Republican voters would do it. They're indoctrinated in a religious form, not an economic form, and not a political form.
I agree.
Form, and that comes from
And it's not just religious in an application of who it's like. No, they are actually religiously indoctrinated.
Yes, and that comes from Karl Rove's business model. And I debated Karl Rove at the University of Utah. He was a BYU law guy. University of Utah is a liberal school. BYU is the conservative school. I debated Karl Rove. I know Karl Rove. I call him Karl with a small C as his mother intended. But anyway, I know him. And he was smart. He's a smart weasel. And he knew 85%. Yeah, 85% of people who attend church on a regular basis religiously vote. And if anybody knows, it's Utah's in Weber County, where I live. In Weber County, which is a great liberal stronghold for decades and decades, these people have no clue. I did part of my PhD, I took my camera. I interviewed 2,000 people on a university campus, on a strong university campus. What is your opinion of Congress? Blah, 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 we hate him, blah, blah, blah. Who's your congressman? Out of 2,000 people, 95 people even knew who their congressman was. They just checked the elephant because they are groomed, they are religious, and they are indoctrinated via their gun, hate homosexuals.
They're programmed. They're programmed. You're right. I know who my congressman is. His name is Alan West. That's how nasty it got.
Which district do you live in down there?
Palm Beach County, I'm in District 32, I believe. Alcee Hastings and
so you're a friend of Kathleen Harris's by any chance?
I'm close. I think she's gerrymandered. I believe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the gerrymandering is another whole thing. We're getting another district right now. I mean, the gerrymander. You know, Scott Matheson was our governor in the 80s, a liberal who was nuked to death, a downwinder, who was killed by nuclear fallout and asking against nuclear energy. His son is Jim Matheson, the only Democrat who's in office in the entire state for 30 years. He's District 2 here. And when my father was nuked to death, I went to my congressman, he pretty well spit in my widowed mother's face and mine, and I come from a very, you want to talk about a patriotic family, the ranch I grew up in Utah, I still live on, my oldest uncle on Omaha Beach on D-Day, pillar of the community, Battle of the Bulge, my dad, the nuked to death, drafted Marine, his younger brother, the fighter pilot, POW in freaking Nam. We go to him and he laughs at us. Well, Jim Matheson got wind of it. He came to my mom's house. I mean, he did everything he could freaking do. At least he tried, and he wasn't even in my district. But my district, as a Republican, he's like, this guy is a liberal. Fuck you. Excuse my language. You know, so I'm like, oh, yeah? You know, he wants to treat me like that. You know, one of my last videos, I did a video the other day on Rob Bishop, who's in my district, fat, hairsprayed, hamburger eating. He is the epitome. I said, you want to know everything about Utah? You want to know everything about Utah and the conservative party? You want to know everything? There's a doctor who is David O. McCain, Gun McKay's son. David O. McCain's ex-president of the Mormon Church when I was a boy. I knew him personally. It was all about me. A liberal, believe it or not, the only liberal we ever had as a Mormon. Well, he... Mm-hmm. His son is on trial right now for writing prescriptions. He wrote 1.6 million Oxycontin prescriptions in the last 4 years. We have a major epidemic of pill popping here. We have a suicide that is off the hook.
Yeah.
The feds went after him. The feds. Guess who his character witness they're going to call to the stand on Tuesday is? Rob Bishop, our congressman.
Jeez.
You know, if this doesn't make national headlines, I'll make sure it makes national headlines. You know, I mean, there it says everything about the conservative movement in this country.
Well, our governor, Rick Scott. He stopped the process that was put in place by Charlie Crist to a good guy, actually.
I love Charlie Crist. He got tea parties by the radical nut movement.
Yeah, Rubio and his section, and the Democrat down here who was the monkey wrench, Kendrick Meek.
Yeah,
Meek.
He looked like two bowls of Jello.
He basically his mother Carrie Meek was somebody I have always been very proud of, but the
Clinton administration, correct? She was a Clinton administration. Yeah.
Right. Well, actually, she was in the Florida House legislature as the first black woman in there in the 70s. And then she went to Washington and really a really great politician, integrity. I thought a great deal of her. And then she retired and she did the flip the boy into the into her, but Kendrick got flipped right into his mother's chair when she retired. She worked it so he would. And basically she went to Miami and went on the take with the city commissioners as a, what do they call them, advisor. And, the gratuitous payments, and she and her son got involved with some kind of a shyster or a hoodoo man out of, Boston, who came down here. Well, the end and the all of it is that Kendrick Meek has not got the creds as far as integrity goes. He's crooked. He's dirty. And he won't own up to it.
And he sure came out, in the election, because that Florida seat was so, nationalized. You could read it.
He threw it for Charlie Crist. If Meek had withdrawn and if Obama had, well, of course, Meek was beholden to the
Clinton. You got to give it to Bill. Bill asked Meek to freaking back out. He still wouldn't do it.
Right. You're right there.
Politician, egomaniac, is all that they are.
We lost Crist. And before the end of the damn election counting was over, the vote counting was over in the governor's election, the gal we had actually conceded, which was just stupid. Stupid. Alex, she caved. And I think that the vote was so close. But in this state, honey, in this state, you really don't know who's going to win. It depends on who's counting the votes, kind of like Wisconsin, what happened up there just recently. You know, Kevin?
When he loses up there, when he lost, I knew right then. I'm like, but people forget this. I'm a historian. I am a historian big time. And I always quote Truman's famous whistle stop 1948 speech in the Do Nothing Congress. Look, when a president takes office that is the opposing candidate, when the president switches from Democrat to Republican or Democrat, or from Republican to Democrat 100% of the time in the midterm, the opposing party takes massive numbers. That's just the way it is. And the two parties put too much clout. They think it was them. When 100% of the time, it always works like that. It always goes. And so the Republicans hitch their wagon to the Tea Party, and they got this stalemate in Congress going because they think they're going to have to pander to the Tea Party to get through a congressional primary, when I call bullshit. I mean, I think the Tea Party, talk about overstating your power.
There's not really that many of them. They're, granted, they have a sizable look-me-over group, but...
They take credit for the 2010, which is total bullshit. If you look in history, every time a president takes the White House versus the midterm, always jumps the other way. That's why the two-party system has worked. But when you got the radical right, Tea Party, then no compromise can happen. It happened in 1946 when Truman in 1948, and his famous whistle-stop speech, the Do Nothing Congress. And I'll tell you what, let's hope the same thing happens. It annihilated the Republican Party for 30 years. It annihilated them. And we ended up with the strongest middle class in history.
Yeah.
Of course, we have Bernanke, who's a disciple of Greenspan, running the Fed. And I grew up in a Fed family, and they have extreme power. And everybody says, oh, we hate the Fed, we hate the Fed, we hate the Fed. Now, granted, they're private. They should be public.
Yeah.
I agree. But the people who ran the Fed from 1934 to present, which was family members of mine, were socialists. And it's no coincidence we had the strongest middle class in the history of the world in those times because of the Fed policies, Eccles, Volcker. And then here comes the science fiction economist, I like to call him, who did his PhD on Ayn Rand. He's admittedly an Ayn Rander, who Ayn Rand was nothing more than a counterculturist to Lenin. She was born in Russia. And somehow he believes that is economic theory. She was a science fiction writer who was as radical and extreme as the right is now. And Greenspan based his Fed policy, when the rate should have been going up, it was lowering to pass by Wall Street. And you could tie that into that with tariffs and every problem we had. It all breaks down to pure economics. A 0%
Fed
rate.
Well, that's what's going on right now. That's going on right at this minute. It's pure economics.
And it took from 94 to present. And as far as the debt ceiling goes, I'm a professor. I went to the number one school of business in the United States, and I used to have with the great legendary finance professor, Clyde Cooley, who was probably the greatest finance professor in the history of, in the last 40 years in this country, who I have the last letter of recommendation he ever wrote. He and I used to go at it. I'd say, we teach the risk-free rate of return in this country when you're doing finance is the United States bond return. And I used to argue all the time, that is not risk-free. There is a chance of default. And he would say it like this, if we default, you don't want to live there anyway. And it'll never happen. Here we are. Who would ever believe that we get on the brink of a debt? And people forget, okay? You want to default, you right-wing radicals, okay? Let's do this. Let's do what Saddam did, okay? The prisons and the incarcerated rate, which is off the hook, the highest in the world. Let's do this. Let's let them all out of jail. Who do you think funds that, the bond? Who do you think the United States bond market funds? The school districts, they fund the roads, they fund the prisons, they fund the jails.
Right. Yeah.
So let's just, here's the angle that I take. You want to say, oh, we're going to miss a payment for Social Security. Let's miss this payment. Let's just miss the payment on paying the federal money to the prisons. Let all these maniacs out like Saddam did in freaking Iraq. Go talk to somebody who lived in Iraq who was wealthy. Their children were kidnapped. They had to move to Jordan, the entire country. So let's default that way. Let's not pay the prison bill. That's how radical. They want to pick and choose. Oh, this money's coming from, you know, some urban, you know, person in an inner city who's drawing a welfare check. I mean, give me a break. Why, they're corporate welfare, farm subsidies, and Michelle Obama freaks. Michelle Obama.
Republicans and Democrats, many of the Democrats do that, like I said, they're following the tactics of disaster capitalism, and I think they're purposely developing a crisis in order to arrest public resources for private industry. You know, it's like, it's outrageous, but nobody seems to be screaming about it. But if those checks don't go out next week, at the end of the week, I mean, we're going to have to be checking
going
on
out.
Our neighbors.
You know, this is posturing. Yes. You know what's going to happen? I can tell you how this is going to settle right now. It's posturing. The House and the President, you see them posturing back and forth. This is for 2012. People forget that the freaking Senate is still controlled by the Democrats, the majority House. The Congress is the minority House. Senators are 100 times more powerful than any congressman ever dreamed of being. Congressmen change freaking like the wind, not senators. What is the re-election of the senator, 85%? McConnell and Harry Reid from here, who's a Mormon and who's a conservative, who is a freaking radical conservative, by the way. He's no Democrat. They'll make a deal behind closed doors, and all the deal will do is kick the can down the road to 2012. It will do nothing. And then we'll have this debate in the 2012 election. And Obama's going to say this. He's going to come out and say, which he's going to be right on this, the radical far-right Tea Party was willing to let this country crash and burn. And, you know, and you got Norquist, don't raise taxes, which is another thing that's never blown my mind. These guys will eke up and sign something that he's put out. Who is this punk? You know, where did this punk come from? You know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to get in a room with that guy for an hour. 1 hour. Give me an hour with that punk.
I like what you're saying.
You know,
I mean, go ahead.
How does the right find an agenda to where they are empowering the corporate elites and kissing their rings? They pay no taxes. And when I teach my class, I go on this rant when I teach. And people will say, well, okay. I said, take any corporation. We love to use Caterpillar, by the way, who came out with a real angry anti-democratic plan because they missed their number freaking last Thursday. I say it like this. They have an American name. They were brought up by our grandparents and our families and made powerful. Their board members don't live in the United States. They don't employ anybody in the United States. They don't make anything in the United States. They don't sell anything in the United States. And they surely pay no taxes. Yet we let them go to the Fed window. Alan Greenspan's policy, free money for my friends, poverty for the rest. And the Republican will defend them to the death. And I look at them and I'm like, why are you defending the people that are taking your job, taking your livelihood, taking everything away, but you will defend these people who have nothing to do with America but American corporate name. But they will. They'll defend them to the death. And I don't get it.
I applaud you. I agree with you 100%. What is wrong? It's like I was saying and we were agreeing on before. Something has got to give, Kevin. And that's why I'm wondering if just, you know, divine intervention, as they say, isn't the lack of checks going out or the global downturn of economy something, because it's going to take something radical. And, of course,
it's going to have to take in the face because I in my book, Post Ignorance, I write it out and I break down every economy. The 1999, and I say it like this when I teach my class. Okay, $10,000, I break it down. Now, what good economists do with money is they weight it against something. The traditional weight is against gold. Now, in the last 50 years, we've switched oil. So what I do, I break it down. I call my Kevin Blanche matrix that I've built, and I use it for teaching purposes. I take a 20% weighted index, 5 different commodities. I take gold. I take oil. I take housing. I take medium wages. And then I take silver. Anyway, I build a matrix, and I could show you in the last 10 years that 83% of all wealth in this country has been wiped out from A to Z, all the way, unless you know, you're a good currency trader and whatever. It's no coincidence the dollar to the euro was 75%. 75 cents the day we invaded Iraq. It's $1.43. It's been as high as $1.60. That means everything. Our currency has gotten weaker, and everybody wants to talk about inflation and Obama spending. Where were they in 02, 03, 04, 05, 06 when this thing was really happening in the earnest? And you could draw a line right to the day we invaded Iraq. 29% of the United States equity markets were made up by foreign investment. 2%. That money was so outrageous it just moved to China. Even the people that wanted to invest here. That's the only thing that radical, whack-o, freaking idiot Trump is right about. He's right about that. He's right about we need tariffs. He's right about China is freaking laughing all the way to the bank. It's true. It's just like I say Scott McClellan's book, how the right panders to the evangelicals and they set away in the situation room and they make fun of the evangelicals. They're like, you know, these morons are freaking giving up their jobs and everything just to go grandstand and kill Muslims.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear that. Yeah, that's valid. Yeah, I hear that. So basically, you do think that the Congress will it be Obama capitulating again to a two-part solution?
Down the road that it will solve nothing, and it'll get done, and it'll get done through the Senate with an executive order. It'll give Congress the bypass to where they can vote against it, so these Tea Parties can vote against it. They'll kick it. It's the McConnell plan diluted down. If you've read the McConnell plan, that's what we're going to get, and all it does is kick the can. Nothing's going to happen. Even the spending to support Medicare and Medicaid, the cuts will be so minute it'll be ridiculous. And then as far as the tax raising, there'll be no tax raising. It'll allow them to vote against it. Barack Obama can sign an executive order to freaking raise the debt limit for 2 years, and then we'll freaking see after the 2 years. Because they're both putting all their freaking chips in the 2012 election. This country cannot default, and these guys make too much money. Think about this. Think about this. I say this all the time. How about we default on their paycheck? Congress makes $184,000 a year per person. There's a piece right there, okay? It's like in the 08 when TARP come out. Do you think there's a coincidence that both Democrats and Republicans voted for TARP to bail out Goldman Sachs? Who do you think manages every senator's money? 99 of the 100 senators are millionaires. The only one who's not is Biden, okay? Wow. Who do you think manages that money? If Sachs goes down, they go down. If we miss a debt payment, these people go down. They know that. They cash that check. So their politicians are there for one reason. Yeah, their own ego. They're there for that paycheck. That's a big paycheck. $184,000 a year in this society with a lifetime pension, with all benefits, jobs you don't even have to show up for. You know, so they're not going to let this default because it's Freudian. They're looking at their own paycheck. They'll pass. They'll get it through.
I hear you. It's basically a moot point. What do you think could possibly be, projective-wise, be a prognosticator? I mean, as a derivative specialist, I'm sure you're good at this. What do you think could actually be the trigger or the catalyst that brings it to right into the faces of everybody? I mean, obviously the environment, but that isn't
a... Well, we've seen that didn't work. When the Gulf catastrophe happens, and then it piggybacks on Fukushima, and people aren't freaking totally outraged, that's not it. You know, that's not it. You know, is it war? That ain't it. We already seen that. We got three of them.
Watching TV, and the TV is telling him everything's fine and dandy. Some of the, it's funny to watch. I mean, I've left places, social networking places over this. One place where I was posting that, you know, people were like, oh, you're full of crap, Gwen. The president says everything's all right. Everything's cleaned up. Yeah. you got to go out. You have to go out and you have to look for you. You were talking earlier. We were talking about television. I agree with you. It's a wonderful tool. It gives us a great deal of information, good stuff. And there's places to go other than PBS anymore. I mean, Keith Olbermann's over at Current TV.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's And there's a whole lot more on current TV than just him. And I and now
yeah.
we've got how do you pronounce his name? Young Turks, the guy Jenks. Do you know who I mean from MSNBC?
Yes, I do.
And well, there's that situation. Where is he going to go? There's also Link TV, which carries Democracy Now, Amy Goodman, and the rest of her clan. And there's a lot of good stuff on there. So there are integritous news or journalistically noble or honorable or correct outlets that are building. Jenk, Pinko, thank you, Pinko. Jenk is his name. He told the story to Overman on Friday night of how they called him into the offices at MSNBC. And this, now, I mean, you're a teacher. Perhaps you can appreciate my definition of Rachel Maddow. I mean, she's like the professor who's educated a great deal, a great many people watching her as to what's going on here and there. And yet it seems like in the last 4, 5, 6 months, she's just sipping the Kool-Aid. Do you know what I mean? Oh, goodness. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we did lose Kevin. Hopefully he will call back. These things happen. Technology occurs, you know, the screw-ups. I do have another caller on the phone here with the 803 area code, and it seems familiar, but I'm not quite sure. So I'm just going to start opening my phones up. Wait
hey,
a minute now.
Yeah, I lost you there for a minute.
Hey, there you go. There's Kevin back, and
I say it like this. Rachel Maddow, I love her. She needs 2 shots of wild turkey and a shot of tequila every day before she goes on. Just amp it up a little, and she's great. She's very intelligent. She's very knowledgeable. But a lot of the people on the left are intelligent and knowledgeable. Yeah, my favorite person on the left. And I say the only true progressives that have existed in 20, 30 years as far as the political spectrum, Howard Dean and Bernie Sanders. You know, Bernie Sanders calls himself an independent. I love him. You see, he goes off. He's venomous. He gets in their face. And, you know, you think about in 2004 in the primary when Dean was running and he makes his rant at the end of it. Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, he's crazier. And then John Kerry comes out, and it was the war machine. This guy comes from Oregon and says, oh, I was in Nam with him, and he saved me. So everybody's so caught up in war. I really think Howard Dean, if he could have got elected, would he's a true, strong progressive. I love the guy. I do. I love the guy.
He's great, and he's one of the regulars over at Countdown now, as well as Danny.
Oh, I love him. I love him. He's the best.
He went
toe-to-toe with these Wall Street guys. You know, I mean, I'm a derivative trader, so I watch CNBC in the morning, and I have to listen to those freaking idiots. He's the only guy that will get in their face. You know, and how do these guys on Wall Street justify, oh, yeah, God, Republicans are better with the market than Democrats. Oh, really? We can go back. I go through this in my class. Let's talk about Wall Street and Democrat versus Republican. The markets always do much better under a liberal. Always. Holy crap. What did the markets do under Bush? What did the markets do under Reagan? What did the budget under Bush? What did they do under Clinton?
Yeah.
What did they do under Obama? The market is up what is the market up? Nearly 100% in 2.5 years under Obama. I mean, so I hear these guys because they're indoctrinated. Because it's not about, I tell everybody like your 401k, I said, get the money away from them, asshole. Quit bitching and giving these pricks your money through your 401k. Put it in the bank. I've been ratting that for years. These guys do things because they can. There are more people showing up to share with me. Hey, you can't even read your statement. You're the one feeding them the freaking money. So they're not about returns. They're not about giving you a good return. They're about power and control and robbing the kitty. CEOs and corporate boards have been able to rob for the last, especially the last decade, because there are no checks. We got rid of, you know, Glass-Steagall. We got rid of everything. They're all laughing their way to the bank. I say it like this, 1975, when the liberals and the progressives run this country, the average CEO in this country made less than 3% of the average American. The average athlete in this country made less than, or excuse me, three times. The average athlete made less than three times. The average American made $15,000 a year. The average athlete made just right around $45,000 a year. Do you know what that number is today? 800
times. Yeah, it's outrageous.
I thought our parents were never stood for it.
And it's outrageous.
And they do it because they can. You know,
that's correct. Bingo, are you on with us? Kevin, I've brought Brad Holhut on with us. He's Bingo the Bear up all night. You guys have
He's a Nevada guy. I'm in Nevada right now.
Gwen, listen, I got a problem with the audio here. I don't have headphones, so
I can
hear
you.
I'm hearing the computer and I'm hearing you in a delay.
I hear it. Try calling back.
Yeah, I don't know how to do this. Sorry.
Yeah, me neither.
Damn. Brad is, he can hear us there. It's on a delay. I think maybe if you turn your sound off, Finko. I'm not sure. Perhaps he'll call back. I would love to hear the conversation with you guys.
Well, you know,
because you have a lot in common, and yet you would have your points of disagreement that would be very illuminating.
You know, I'm a very Freudian guy in every I really am, and I say it like this. Look, in 1980, when the conservative movement took over, when they took over, there was 9% of the United States population had money in the stock market. They knew it was gambling. If some CEO was doing bad things, they showed up. They voted his ass out. If he's paying himself $200 million a year, even $5 million for that money, they voted his ass out. They invented the 401k, and we've appeased them, including Greenspan, by the 0% interest rate, so you'll go to the Wall Street policy. And they push it and push it and push it. I tell CEOs do what they can because they can. Never shareholders show up. They tell the shareholders the 401k. Hell, he don't even know how to read his statement. He doesn't even know what window dressing is. I mean, they send it out. You lost 42%. Oh, the market. Oh, and they just drew on and says, oh, I guess that's okay, honey. You know, they don't call these people's feet to the fire because they're ignorant about it. So they rob it. They just pay themselves more and more. Who's to stop them? No one.
No
one. I'm sure isn't going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem because who is the big – you look, where the money goes from Wall Street, that's who gets elected. The money went behind Barack Obama last time, and it's going to again. That's why he'll get reelected, because Wall Street loves him.
Yeah, they do. Well, he's a corporatist. Pinko is saying we went from a pension society to a 401k society.
Exactly, and that's the problem. Two things. The pension society, which they were getting robbed. Pensions were getting robbed, and Congress overreacted and made all these laws. But then, so we go to the 401ks invented. You know, back then, I wish I'd have been a fund manager then, which I was a derivative trader back in those days. We go, and then he comes along 94, and we destroy NAFTA. So they're able to put jobs in China, exploit labor at 37 cents an hour when it was $25 a freaking hour. And this was freaking fairy tale. This was the Cinderella syndrome. These guys had it made. You know, environmental laws, they had the thing.
More money on the top tier now than there is in the middle class or even for the lower class, which is trying to climb up.
Oh, the middle class has been obliterated. You take $1,975, I'll do this in my class, $15,000, and don't use the bullshit government number. I love no freaking inflation in the last decade. Please, gold was $220 an ounce in 2000. Oil was $14 a barrel. Median price of a house, three times. You can go over and over and over. We had massive inflation in 02, 03, 04, 05, 06, 07 because of NAFTA. It was set in place because of NAFTA, and we had this freaking and this low interest rate. So you take $15,000, the average working class, our parents, one person working, the mom staying home taking care of the kids, four or five kids, two-week vacation, working 40 hours. To have that equivalent lifestyle today takes two people working 65 hours. And so there you have it. What is $15,000 in 1975 dollars? Well, how much is that? It's over $100,000 a year. What? And the average American is making right around $30,000 a year, not $100,000. So there's the delusion.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's this huge, and it is not vague at all. There's this huge discrepancy. There's all of them on the. There's the very few on the dot that are holding everything, and everybody else is failing. And you get sick, and I'm sure you know this, Kevin. If you get sick, and you have any
My book is almost done, and it's all about the Federal Reserve. And I say it like this. The guy, in 1929, when this government went completely bankrupt and broke and the Fed was reorganized, the guy who ran the show, who I knew personally, writes it like this. He says, I watched the freaking Karl Marx manifesto fell in my face. He says, I watched the Adam Smith free economic plan fell in my face via Hoover. He says, I am a socialist. I am a for the weak and working class man, and I will run the Fed as a socialist. That's what he says, verbatim, per quote. And when Volcker was finally booted, when you had this line of socialists, when Volcker raised the interest rate to 18%, which was a good thing to kill inflation, mm-hmm. and the indoctrination of Greenspan, that's when this madness started, in 1987, when Reagan put in fucking Volcker. That's...
Yeah.
Excuse me, Greenspan. Greenspan is the greatest piece of shit that ever happened to America. I say it all the time, and I go right to Hamilton's grave, and I bet Hamilton would roll over in his grave. He literally would roll over. And he was the first Secretary of the Treasury without Hamilton. And it's Greenspan and Bernanke, the disciple of Greenspan, and every politician just jumps to his beat.
Good Lord. Yeah.
I break it down to economics, I honestly do. But there is an answer. There is an answer. And I say it. And I don't know why America isn't out. There is one answer. Tariffs on Chinese goods coming into America.
Yeah, that's what Big Ed Schultz says the same thing over and over again. He's extraordinarily good at saying that. and I hear him when he does. Most of the time I think he's drinking the Kool-Aid. But I agree. Yeah. It was a pleasure having you on, Kevin. I thank you for coming over. We look forward to more of your videos, as you know.
And hey, I tell everybody out there, I haven't put any videos up the last few days because I've been so extremely upset about what happened in Norway. I have a lot of people in Norway watch my videos. They really got my gut, you know, and that's political motivated. And, you know, and it has bothered me more. I think it's the most tragic thing that's ever happened in my life in the acute situation. And it's really bad, so I haven't put any videos up, and I probably won't till the 26th, you know, just out of respect for those victims. I mean, it horrifies me. It absolutely horrifies me. I couldn't sleep all night that night. You know, it's horrible. It is horrible.
It is really bad. I agree with you. And there are people over there who are beginning to... say things like the, you know, this is the right-wing conservative,
in the name of Christianity, in the name of, he did this in the name of Christianity, the right-wing fascist radical, which our party, I hate to say this, and people get outraged with me when I bring this up, but the Republicans in this country has turned into fascism. Look up the definition. We're a religious, fake Christian, radical fascist. That's who we are. That's who, the Tea Party is as fascist as it gets. You know, in every single metaphorical, symbolic way.
I agree.
You know, and so, you know, it's got to give. It's got to end.
It does.
Hopefully something.
Maybe
it's the technology. I don't know. My daughters ask me all the time. My young daughters who are dynamic, you know. They ask me all the time, Dad, how's this going to give? You know, students, how this is going to give? And I say it like this. It's generational. It took a generation to create this mess. It's going to take a generation till the baby boomers get old and die. And I speak to people all the time, oldest young generation. I'm like, nobody over the age of 45 in this country should even be allowed to vote. It should be the, look what we've done. Look what we've done as baby boomers. Let the young generation have it. We've destroyed it. They will have to fix it. Because we sure aren't, because we're a bunch of self-indulged, lazy, fat hairspray, plastic surgeons, me, me, me. I'll leave it at that. I got to go.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for being with me this weekend.
Okay.
Take care. So, thanks, everybody, for being here with us tonight. That was Kevin Blanch. Stay with him. He's over on YouTube. At Kevin D. Blanch, all lowercase, all together, Kevin D. Blanch on YouTube. You can find his videos there. I want to put out the information for him. Also, I would like to remind everybody that this space is also sponsored by Totally Radical Liberal Blogging, and that would be Roundtree7.com. That's Roundtree7.com. Go over and read something. A lot happened this week. A lot. We have a point of crisis coming up in Washington. I want to thank Trish Springstead for coming online with me at the beginning when I couldn't get a hold of Kevin. Thank you, Trish. And in the next couple of weeks, we have to have you, Cherie, and Anita on and talk about the Gulf and Linda St. Martin. So thank you so much for being here and supporting. I don't have any idea what's going on next week. We're going to play it. We're going to play it by ear. And like I was saying, it came to a point of crisis this week, all week long. They're playing us. They're playing the American public. And basically, the bottom line of it is all about money. Kevin was saying, and I think quite rightly, that it's all about a generation losing it. You know, we have to, and not until they lay down and die. And it reminds me, if any of you saw the movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Sidney Poitier has a scene with his father where he says, you know, not until you lay down and die will the dead weight of you be off us. And I think it's really that generation still, and the bleed over from that generation. We don't have time for them anymore. They're ruining everything. The planet is dying, and the economy is just a symptom of it. And it's going to take some kind of catalyst, and some kind of, even though we realize that the crisis is a way for these bastards to get a foothold economically. If there is no economy at all for them to foothold, that would be a way. I'm not sure what's going to happen, and smarter people than me have been talking about it and keep talking about it. And in that, I would like you to remember that there's Up Late at Night with Pinko the Bear on Blog Talk Radio, and also the Wild Wild Left with Diane G. That's on Friday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Pinko the Bear is Pacific time, and I believe he's 10 p.m. Pacific and midnight our time. Not quite sure. Yes, of course, a plug. That's what's really wonderful about Blog Talk Radio. I get to have a conversation with the chat room. Anyways, I'm going to sign off tonight with a little bit of Kevin. And if you've never heard one of his videos, you got to get over to YouTube and check it out. And as I said, we are sponsored by Roundtree7.com. Get over there and read something, okay? And everybody in the chat room, my undying gratitude. You guys are the best.
Hi, Kevin Blanche. Back to the nuclear fucking nightmare. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? These fucking news media, the fucking conscience of fucking America, the conscience of the world is not all over this. There is plutonium flowing into the Pacific fucking Ocean. Do you understand? I mean, people don't understand the implications. Are we really this fucking stupid? Is this fucking country's conscience really that fucked up? Is it really that pathetic? There is plutonium flowing into the Pacific Ocean. Wow. Holy fuck. And the fucking news media, fuck, they're over there fucking watching fucking, you know, what's unfolding in Iraq or fucking Britney Spears comeback or something. Fuck, what the fuck? I don't fucking believe this. I don't believe. They prayed when they do finally show something, they prayed out one fucking nuclear energy so-called expert after another. Every last single one of these pieces of shit. You play back the tape for 3 fucking weeks. Every one of these fucking so-called experts with a fucking agenda who is pro-nuke. Not one single anti-nuke guy on any of the networks. Not fucking one. I've been going at it with a certain person in the fucking major fucking news media. Her and I have been going at it. She tells me, oh, you're anti-nuke. I'm like, yeah, you're pro-fucking nuke. Fuck, of course I'm anti-nuke. What you see is what you fucking get. Are you kidding me? How can you be pro-fucking nuke? How can anybody be pro-nuke after fucking what's gone on? What the fuck is the matter with this fucking country? Fuck, look, they could have. 3 weeks this has been going on. 3 weeks. The media's got a fucking, they've got some liability. They dummied this fucking down. They dummied this fucking down. TEPCO, every one of those fucking pieces of shit ought to be in jail. Fucking Japanese officials and the so-called regulatory fucking agencies of the nuclear that we've been lied to for fucking 40 years saying, oh, we got plans. We got a handle on this. What's your plan? Oh, we're shooting newspaper in a fucking crack. Spray with seawater. What kind of fucking pieces of shit are these? There is no fucking nuclear regulatory agencies. They're a fucking scam. The people you're watching on fucking these news outlets, these so-called, they're a fucking scam. Not one single anti-nuke guy. There is plutonium flowing into the Pacific fucking Ocean. Oh, fuck, okay, we'll just fucking annihilate the greatest food market in the fucking world that feeds the entire fucking world. Oh, fuck it. Just don't eat those fucking fish over there in the fucking Pacific. Go to the Atlantic. Yeah, we can get the oil fucking, those oil fucking so fucking oysters make your dick grow. They're better than fucking Viagra. Go get some. Are you fucking kidding me? There is still oil spawning in the fucking Gulf. Still fucking washing up. We're fucking dumping plutonium into the fucking Atlantic, and this country doesn't give a fuck. And the news fucking media, one fucking so-called expert after another. We've been fucking scammed by fucking Wall Street. The SEC is watching out for us. Oh, yeah. I was on fucking Wall Street. I know what that's all fucking about. SEC, what a fucking joke. That's like fucking taking, well, I don't even want to fucking go there. They have no fucking clue. White collar crime not is only fucking legal in this country, it is encouraged. People fucking forge documents on your fucking mortgage at the local fucking level. Not one of those fuckers went to jail. Not one. God forbid you get caught with a fucking marijuana fucking seed. They'll fucking lock you up for fucking life. These fuckers are fucking evil. They fucked you out of your 401k. Oh, I got the same amount of money I had when I dumped it in the fucking Dow. The Dow's are the same thing it was 10. Oh, really? You think it's the same thing? You know they took GM out and removed it. You know what the Dow would be if they left GM in the fucking Dow? You think that helps your fucking money? And think about your fucking money. Oh, I fucking put $10,000 in 97. I still got $10,000. Go fucking cash out your $10,000, see what could have fucking buy. You used to be able to buy a door. You can't even buy the fucking doorknob. You used to be able to buy 5 or 6 ounces of gold. You can't buy one. You used to be able to buy fucking 10 or 12 fucking barrels of fucking oil. You can't buy fucking one. Well, 100 or 10. 1,000% fucking move. You fuckers have been so fucking scammed, and people sit back. And like I said, the news media, not one single anti-nuke guy. Fuck, I would have never believed it in my fucking entire life. I've been anti-nuke my whole fucking life. I brought my dog tags back out. I wore those after the death of my father for years and years and years. I brought them back out to honor the death of the atomic veterans, all 40,000 of them who are dead, to honor their widows, to honor their children who got no fucking respect, not a fucking medal, not a fucking thank you, not nothing. I worked with the Justice Department for over the last fucking 15 fucking years on this thing. I've been lied to by politicians. I've been lied to by everybody from all the way up, all the way fucking down. They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. And apparently the fucking social conscious and the moral conscious or the fucking subconscious of America doesn't give a fuck. And the media shows you.
Right.
The media gives a fuck. I mean,
that's
their fucking
right.
Corporate fucking board. These board members are sitting on moldable fucking boards. Oh, God forbid we put a crack in the armor of the fucking empowerment. You got to realize, do you fucking realize that the average athlete in this country makes over 600 times the average worker in America. The average CEO makes over 800 times the average working class in America. In 1975, that number was less than 3. This has been the biggest redistribution of fucking wealth in the history of the world. This is a philosophy. And you right-wing neocon fucking nutcase fucking said, well, the Democrats are no better. No better. This has just been sucked up. Fuck, when it comes to regulation in the fucking golf, drill, baby, drill. When it comes to fucking nuclear fucking regulation agencies. Oh, we got a fucking plan. Spray newspaper in the fucking cracks while we put plutonium in the fucking Pacific fucking Ocean. 6, and there's more than 6 up the road. Not even that complex. The other complex is spewing right now. No news media. It is spewing. It's, well, there's another one right up the fucking coastline of Japan that's going through the same nightmare. They scammed you out of your 401k. Game from free marketplace, free marketplace, free marketplace. Fucking go read fucking Alexander Hamilton, the first fucking great economist of the United States, the first Secretary of the Treasury, the man who created it all. Go read what he said about tariffs. You fuckers don't know communism from socialism, fucking capitalism. You never studied a word of it. You're in a 10-second soundbite on fucking Fox. You fucking Christine O'Donnell, I'm a constitutional fucking scholar because I attended a fucking 2-hour fucking seminar. Are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck is the matter with this fucking country? There is plutonium going into the Pacific fucking Ocean. Take your fucking chances. Nuclear fish? Oil fucking fish. We're fucked. And nobody gives a fuck. And like I said, the media prays out one asshole after another with a fucking sick agenda. There's a price to pay. There's fucking liability. Play back every one of you pieces of shit dummy that fucking now. Not one single anti-nuke guy. Not fucking one. Like I said, I've been going at it. I've been going out with this female. She says, oh, yeah, I get accused of being too Freudian. My own daughters tell me I'm too fucking Freudian. I take that as a compliment. I am fucking Freudian in the fucking reality of it. This is fucking serious, serious fucking nightmare. No one gives a fuck. It's just going to go away. We're so used to a fucking 3-week fucking news cycle that it's over. This ain't going away. This is not going away. This is catastrophic. Stay with me.
You think I wouldn't have him unless I could have him by the balls? You think I'd dish it out? You don't think I'd take it at all? You think I am stronger? You think I walk taller than the rest? You think I'm usually wearing the pants just because I rarely wear a dress? When you look at me, you see my purpose. I'd settle up my anger and ride. You think I stand so firm? You think I sit so high on my trusty steed? Well, let me tell you, I'm usually face down on the ground when there's a stampede. like I fool you. I don't have the power. We just don't run this place.
I want to thank the diehards. Thanks, guys, for being out there. I got Pinko and Trisha still on board. What do you know? This was Here Be Monsters, coming to you from the Atlantic side of South Florida. Hey, people, take care of yourself. Until next week, don't forget to go over and listen to Up Late at Night with Pinko the Bear and The Wild, Wild Left on Friday evenings at 6 p.m. with Diane G. And until next week, we be gone. You know what? New studio. Ah, there it is. End episode. We're going to end the episode. Bye-bye. See ya.